And welcome to Draw, Lose or Draw, a weekly podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. Joining me this week to look back on Saturday's 0-0 draw in Kirkcaldy, Rhys Haldane. Rhys, how are you?
I'm good, thanks very much, Matt. Certainly not a game for the ages at the weekend, but I'm sure we'll get something to talk about.
Heather Holloway's here. Heather, are you well?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Matt. It's been a busy few weeks, swanning, as you called it, swanning around Italy, and just having a great time off. But I'm glad to be back, and it was good to be around all the Thistle people on Saturday, even though the game was nothing to write home about.
And rounding off our panel, David Forrest. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to hear how we spin this out into a 45-minute podcast, because there is like no meat on this bone on this game, but I'm looking forward to seeing what nonsense we come up with.
Well, I sent an agenda earlier and about 20% of it was on the game, so we will rattle through the game. Well, we're going to scrape the barrel this week, but sometimes they turn into the better pods, so we'll see how we go. Risa, I'll chuck you the starting 11 question this week. A couple of changes. Xander McKenzie came in for Jack McMillan, who's out injured, and Scott Robinson also picked up a knock, so Ben Stanway replaced him. Are you quite happy with the team when you saw it? Any surprises?
Well, I was surprised. There was certainly a few eyebrows raised. That was my initial reaction, because I like to obviously look at the team line, so I won't look at the team line as a whole. I'll go through it one by one. So obviously I'm just looking at Mitchell, McMillan, Millen, all the usual guys, and it's looking fine. And then you get to the bottom and you're like, oh, Xander McKenzie. So straight away I'm thinking, like, you know, where is he playing? Like, because he could honestly, he's a utility man already at 18 years old. So obviously he's a midfielder and he plays out wide. He's played at fullback and he does fine at like every position. So I genuinely wasn't sure. And then it took me, me and Jamie were both on, we get the same bus and then sitting near each other. And I remember just saying, like, looking at the team together and I was like, yeah, there's no Scott Robinson. You know, it just takes you like a wee minute for it to kick in. I was like, it's the last thing we need to be picking up more and more injuries. And I think Robinson's a good player, but the thing that stops him from being a really great player is his fitness. And like, it's fine being a good player, but you need to, you know, have some level of fitness, because I think that's probably the longest run he might have had in his professional career or something. What was that, 5 or 6 games? It's not ideal, but, you know, with the sort of, we're pretty hamstrung at the moment with options. You look at the bench, it's not a pretty sight. So obviously, I wasn't opposed to obviously McKenzie and Stanway coming in. And I thought they'd done a job, but not ideal. Ultimately, I'd love to have better options. I'm sure everybody would. But I thought Ben Stanway and Xander McKenzie definitely done a job at the weekend.
I'd like to apologise straight off the bat here for saying that Xander McKenzie replaced Jack McMillan. I was thrown off by my own pod notes that said Xander McKenzie came in for Kerr McInroy. Of course, he came in for Stevie Lawless. No, I agree with you, Rhys. It was quite an interesting team, and I was interested to see the shape. And I was also quite interested to see Xander McKenzie, because he started the season so well, but he started it playing out of position at right back. And I think this is a decent chance for him in the last few games to get a little run in the side, which he's not really had after a promising start to the season. So, yeah, I was intrigued, I'd say, by the team news. Heather, on the game itself, what did you make of it? Did you think a point apiece was fair? Did we deserve any more from it?
Before the game started, and we know that we're playing Rafe, who have been second in the league, have gone toe-to-toe with Dundee United. I think the classic, if you'd said to us before the game, you're going to get a point, absolutely take it. And a few of us had predicted draws, and Matt, I know that you weren't even sure that we'd even get a point on the weekend. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, it was definitely a point gained. I think we naturally have gone from earlier in this calendar year complaining about the lack of clean sheets, complaining about the way defence is set up, we've now had quite a, you know, a steady set of performances with the defence. I think that has to be congratulated and noted. Obviously, David Mitchell's come in and done well. I think he made a few really important saves on Saturday, including one from Rudden, which they were claiming was over the line. And then just overall, the back four with Macbeth and Muirhead, you know, they step up, they win headers, and they just they keep themselves busy and really switched on in the game, which has been great to see. I think overall, probably a fair result. I think the second half, you could argue that we definitely were the better team and had more of the, I put in quotations, chances. I think it was one of those games where there wasn't much naturally created, but you still got a little bit nervous if any time they were going forward or had the ball in our defensive box. But I think overall, I'm happy with the point that we definitely had a few opportunities, and it made me feel, with the potential at some point, if we do play them in May, depending on what happens, I'm not as terrified as I would have been if we were playing the Raith Rovers that played against us and beat us 4-3 at Starts Park a few months ago. But I think for me, it was I think it was a fair point. I think if Blair Alston's free kick goes in, I don't know what I would have done. Like, would I have, like, donated like something to charity? Would I have got a Blair Alston tattoo? I don't know, but like, that was probably one of the most wild few seconds in this Thistle season. But yeah, and overall, happy with the point, and we go again next week.
Yeah, David, we spoke last week about how important it was we were talking about how important it'd be to beat Raith going into the playoffs, to have belief if we get through what's looking like a third, fourth tie against Airdrie, to have the belief to beat Raith in the playoffs. How important do you think that point was in terms of belief? And then similarly, how important do you think it now is to finish the season unbeaten? Because then we'd begin into the playoffs in an unbeaten run of 8 games, which would feel quite good. So how important was it to remain unbeaten on Saturday and sort of keep that? It's not quite a vibes train, but, you know, vibes replacement bus service at the moment going.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that it was definitely important to try and halt the slump of games against Raith. They've had the better of us all season. They seem to be going on a bit of a downward trend as well at the moment. And it's kind of, the gap is narrowing between us and Raith in terms of, obviously, we can't overtake them or anything like that, but in terms of the distance between us, you know, in terms of form, is narrowing a little bit. I think that, you know, it was really important to go out there and show what we could do against Raith and show that we weren't just going to lay down, if you know what I mean. I would agree with Heather's assessment. I thought in the second half we were the better team, and I think we can take a lot of confidence from the performance against Raith and against staying undefeated. I think Airdrie will be a big game for that. I think it's one of those weird things that the last couple of years where we've ended up further fourth, but it's always been we've been battling upwards as opposed to battling downwards, if that makes sense, until like the last day, you know, last season, where, you know, it was all over the place, but we were always in a title fight, and it was only until very, very late that we weren't in it. And I think now that we have the challenge of, we're battling for the playoffs a couple of games in advance, being able to put something down and say, look, we're here to stay, we're going to finish third, would be really great for the confidence. And I think it's not going to be as much of a consolation prize, if that makes sense, because we were out of the title race so much that we kind of have our goal has changed a bit more so than, say, against Kelly and Arbroath or Dundee and Queen's Park in the last couple of seasons. It's important for the vibes train, you know, the wheels are in motion.
David Stevenson of Mahid's Puzzled Quiz Team, he got in touch and asked, how will we cope when Luke Macbeth is suspended? So I had a little look at the stats. Stuart Bannigan, who... the claims are that he is the Partick Thistle's most booked player in history. He made his debut 15 years ago, obviously a couple of bad injuries in there. But if Luke Macbeth keeps getting booked at the current rate, he will catch up with Banzo in 5 seasons if we play 40 games a season. So that's some going. But Reece, how will we cope when Luke Macbeth is suspended? Because the improvement to the defence that Heather mentioned, sort of correlates with his move back into centre-back.
Well, it's night and day. It genuinely is. It's mental. He's been so influential, and just even since he's came in, just we've looked a better side. I know we struggled a bit defensively when he was playing in midfield, but as soon as he stepped back into defence, he's been excellent. And you look at him and you almost have to remember, like, you know, this guy's came from a scholarship in America, 3 games at East Kilbride, and then half a season at Glenafton, and he's playing here. Like, I remember listening to his interview on the club website, and he said he was close to just kind of chucking football and playing with Castlemo amateurs this season in the same year that he signs for Partick Thistle. So it's kind of, it's brilliant. You love sort of a meteoric rise like that. But you, like I'm saying, you have to almost pinch yourself, because you look at him and you can think to yourself, you know, that guy could have came for, you know, Serie B in Italy or something. The way he's just so, he's good on the ball, he's good in the air, he's an absolute monster. And he does have that aggressive streak to his game, which is, I think, personally, I think is a good thing. And of course, bookings will come for players like that. It is natural. So I'm not looking forward to the times that it comes where he's going to be suspended, but you can't really take that out of a player like that's game. We just need to hope that, you know, maybe Dan O'Reilly will be back by that point. But fingers crossed he doesn't pick up any sort of suspension and we can keep him in the team for as long as need be. Because, like you say, he has been such a key figure for us, and long may it continue.
Heather, was Macbeth the standout for you? Anyone else catch your eye on Saturday?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Macbeth was good, and I think he's been consistently good over the last few games. I think you have to mention Sandra McKenzie, in his own admission, was a little bit slow to get started naturally. I mean, he hasn't started a game in a long time, but the way that he came into it and in the second half was definitely the one that was looking for finding spaces. And, you know, he isn't Stevie Lawless and he isn't going to play the same game as him. But I thought he did well and, you know, stood up to his man, got involved and should be commended, because to go, he looked absolutely knackered. But to go from, you know, like a few sub appearances and, you know, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, to then, you know, a first team game was really impressive, and I thought it was great. I think also Stanway was very influential in the game and just did a lot of the rubbish jobs well, and, you know, again, breaking up the play, making good decisions. And I think, I mean, naturally that confidence that they get from the support around their team and just making successful tackles and things, that just builds for them. And I think that's good for going into hopefully the playoffs. So for me, I would say that Ben Stanway was probably my man of the match, with Xander McKenzie, with a notable mentions. It was good to see Fitzy creating. And I mean, there was a few people around me kind of shouting about him and not doing enough. But he's surrounded constantly by 3 or 4 players. He's really getting the Tiffany treatment, which was really infuriating for Tiffany like last season. And I think I actually think Fitzy deals with that better than most players, because he still manages to sneak through. And I think it's just hard for him, because obviously on Saturday without Lawless, he is like looked to for the attacking threat, and without someone like Scott Robinson, who often, you know, reads minds and gets into spaces. So I think Fitzy doesn't deserve the criticism that he maybe received a little bit on Saturday, because I thought for someone who was being, you know, quadruple teamed, he did really well. But yeah, I think I mean it's hard to say a standout, because it was a 0-0 and it was quite overall a boring game. But for me, those were I think Stanway for me.
David, do you agree with that? Stanway man of the match. Anyone else?
Yeah, I think Stanway probably was a very good shout for a man in a match. I was impressed with McKenzie's, again, utility role of, you know, slotting in there. I thought he'd done really well being crowbarred into that position. But I don't think you can look past Stanway. He was really, really good.
David, a final word on the sort of permutations of Saturday then. Now that we are mathematically unable to clinch the championship title, how certain are you that we're going up as champions?
Well, you know, you know, the results this week have really made you look, be a bit more introspective about, you know, how we can do it. But I think after a bit of soul searching, I would say that I'm 66% confident we will win the championship.
Absolutely huge Simpsons memes, say the line there from that little last 20 seconds of audio. Thank you, David, for obliging. Reese, we're playing Airdrie, very likely playoff opponents on Saturday. How important do you think it is to sort of put a marker down and beat them, because they, well, after the meetings this season, we've spoken about we've been quite impressed with Airdrie, and we sort of expected them to make up the top four. So how important is it to get one over on them before the playoffs?
Yes, I'd say it's maybe almost imperative. We already touched on, you know, last season how important that Queen's Park game was before the playoffs, just to get that form and get that confidence. I think this is the same again, because you look at the games we've had with Airdrie this season. I know, of course, we've drawn with them and we have beat them, as well as them beating us. But like, I don't think we've been convincing in any game. I think that probably, to be honest with you, Airdrie maybe have edged just about all of those games. Even the one that we won 2-1 in, I remember we also got a really lucky deflection that day, and Airdrie even then should have equalised at the death. They missed an absolute sitter. But no, I think Airdrie are a good team. They play good football, and it's a team that play better than some of their parts. And obviously Rhys McKay, he's done a brilliant job there. He won the Ramses Cup with him this season, or the SPFL Trust Trophy, whatever it's called, in this day and age, which of course we are very envious of. We always want to get that cup run, regardless of, you know, how deadly it is. But no, they're a good side, and I think we do struggle against them. So if we do, we have a chance to sort of lay down a marker here and just bring us more confidence. The same as what Heather said, if it comes that we play Rafe, we'll go in knowing that we you know, we can keep a clean sheet against them. You never know what can happen. And like I've said on the pod before, you only need to be lucky once. But like I say, we need to make sure we kind of do the business against Airdrie first. And I know it's not done yet. It basically is, but it's not mathematically locked in. So you just want to, you know, beat Airdrie to the post and get locked in first, get third spot done and dusted. So sooner we get that done, the better. And hopefully we start with 3 points at the weekend.
David, you can edit this out if you want, but Rhys Haldane repeatedly now quoting the IRA on the Partick Thistle podcast as very much big team confirmed.
I was literally thinking the exact same thing when he said it.
Heather, we don't know the extent of Scott Robinson's injury. If he's fit, would he come back in at the side for you? And would you make any other changes to the team for Saturday?
After me just waxing lyrical about how well I thought overall Xander McKenzie and Ben Stanley played, it does seem quite unfair for me to say yes, but I do think that if Scott Robinson is available, that we need him. And the creative link up that he has with Brian Graham is unreplaceable, and especially if Lawless out, I think it is for me. But that seems a real shame on whichever of the two young boys that get left out. But apart from that, I see it as an unchanged side. But I mean, if the way that Scott Robinson is, and his, you know, the way that he is so injury prone, potentially it might be that he just gets the second half or 20 minutes or maybe just not at all. And it is quite infuriating. But I guess if the playoffs are looming, and I'm still so aware that we are not technically mathematically in them yet, I think that maybe do we try and save him for when we need him in that run of games? Because I mean, we hate to talk about it, but one of the things that really, really helped us last season was the fact that Tiffany and Lawless and Kyle Turner, etc., and Ross Doherty were all in the best shape they had been all season for that last run in.
I think that's a good point, Heather, and it sort of touches upon what I was going to come to David with next. David, I think this Airdrie game is slightly different because we're going to be playing them in the playoffs most likely. But after that, do you think the last two games, how do you think Doolan will sort of weigh up the momentum and trying to get aboard the vibes train of going 8 unbeaten? Or do you think he might use them? On my mind are guys like Dan O'Reilly, Scott Robinson, if he doesn't make it this week, Stuart Bannigan, who we've not seen in a few weeks. Do you think they'll be rotated in so we've got a fit and firing squad ahead of the playoffs? Or do you think he'll prioritise the momentum?
I think it's entirely dependent on the result against Airdrie. Am I right in saying a point will secure us the playoffs? Is it not like goal difference?
I'll have a look.
I seem to remember somebody saying it's like a goal difference swing that they would need for us to drop out at this point. I could be completely wrong on that.
I think it's like if we would have to lose like all three games, and Dunfermline would need to win all three and have a better goal difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
I think it does kind of depend on the result against Airdrie. Airdrie are obviously in fourth and our closest rivals. Now, they could overtake us and we could still get into the playoffs, and it doesn't really change much in terms of we still play them in the playoffs. You know, it's just near the home and away flipped around. They get a wee bit more money. But at the end of the day, it is still the same position. I think that though we will be, certainly for the Ayrshire game, I think we'll be very up for trying to put it to bed and try to just make a bit of distance between us and Ayrshire. Again, similar to the Wraith game, of just showing that we can play against them and, you know, take it to them. I think if we win, then I think you'll probably see the game after. I think they will keep a mostly main 11. The last game of the season, again, is against Dundee United, though. This is the problem of we could go 8 undefeated, but we have to beat Dundee United to do it. And we've beaten Dundee United this season, so, you know, it isn't, you know, impossible. Granted, Dundee United were an absolute bomb scare at the time, but...
They could all be pished.
That is absolutely... It could be, you know, they could do us against Montrose and just stick out the under-16s or something like that for a laugh. But I think it's going to be tough. I think you may see people being rested against Dundee United. However, if we're going in 7 undefeated and we've like absolutely tanked the last team, you might see us get a bit gallus and try and go for them. But I think it also depends on Dundee United, to be fair. I think if Dundee United have won the league, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. But I think, you know, if it's Helicopter Friday, you could absolutely see us sticking out a full-side team to try and spoil the party. Like, I think it's all dependent. But I think it is important to try and maintain that run.
Yeah, I would be.
Socrates does quite like a wee night out, and I'm sure both Doc and Kevin Holt were spotted in Wonder Bar. So maybe Reese could host them some sort of like, you know, day out or something, or like night out there, pre our game against them in Tannadice. So Reese, I'll leave that to you.
I think a Thursday night wee session Wonder Bar for all of us with Doc and Holt. That could absolutely work. But, you know, bring Louis Moult and all the lads down, you know, and just, you know, make them feel welcome. You know, drinks flowing. It'll be great.
I would be surprised if it went Helicopter Friday, David, because United are 6 clear of Wraith. And as we mentioned earlier, Wraith do like they're faltering a little bit. To answer your first point, yeah, a point in any of the 3 games and we will be confirmed top 4. As Reese mentioned, though, it's very unlikely either Dunfermline or Ayr will win all 3 games to catch us. But I think it's quite a substantial difference in prize money for a club of our size between 3rd and 4th. So that might come into the thinking as well. I just think back to last year, and obviously how much momentum we had was really the reason we got as far as we did. But then at the same time, I think of Stuart Bannigan was out of the team. And I think a Stuart Bannigan who was sort of up to speed and match fit would have maybe had a better impact on the game up at Dingwall. I don't want to linger on that for too long, but I think it is like that's a decent example of how important it is to have your sort of guys who aren't starting but are going to come off the bench in most games up to speed. So I think a positive result on Saturday, and I can see some tinkering, like 2 or 3 changes maybe against Ayr and United. Reese, do you want to kick us off with a prediction for Saturday's game?
I'm expecting a cagey game, to be fair. Two good sides, but sometimes that can cancel each other out. Am I going to back us for another clean sheet? I don't really know. You know what? I'll give us a clean sheet. I'm going to say 1-0. It could easily be a draw. I'm just going with my heart over my head here. But I'll say 1-0 Jags. And Macbeth, Mitchell, Muirhead, Triple M, they'll keep another. In fact, Milne and McMillan as well. There's so many M's in that back line, they'll keep another clean sheet. Eminem.
Heather?
Okay. I'm going to go a really nervy 2-2 draw again.
David?
I'm going to go 1 each. We'll falter over the line, seal the playoffs. It'll be very tough. I don't think we'll lose. And some Wayne's will throw stones on for Hollywood afterwards.
I think I'm going to match Reese. We'll keep a clean sheet as well. I'll go a 1-0 win. I don't think Airdrie score too many goals compared to the other top teams in the Championship. And even though I'm impressed with them, and I think the playoff tie will be a good one and a close one, probably the closer than the the two we had against Championship teams last year, I think we will just edge this in the league. So I'll go 1-0. We like an end of the season 1-0 home win. So I think this could be another one. The Partick Thistle women's team were in action yesterday. It didn't go brilliantly. I did get in touch with Vinnie and Tom, asked for a little 5-minute report, but I stood them down at half time because I think it would have been quite a grim one. David, I know you went up to Petershill yesterday. Do you want to just sum it up for us quickly? We'll not linger on this for too long.
No, Vinnie had mentioned before that there was a very odd formation that was coming out, and he described it as it'll either be fucking genius or an absolute disaster. We were playing five at the back, and Cara Henderson was playing at centre back. And in all fairness, she was quite good at centre back. She was by no means the weak link in that team. I know 5-0 sounds, you know, like a total doing. I think that, you know, it's one of those things. I think there was one or two goals to Celtic that were just really, really nice goals, to be fair, and there was nothing much we could do about them. And the conditions are really bad. It was unspeakably cold. I thought Tom might die in the stand because he looked like he was just about to pass out for hyperthermia. It was a grim day. But yeah, Carahendo was good at centre back. I think actually Megan Cunningham, strangely for a goalkeeper on a 5-0, was robbed of man of the match. She pulled off some amazing saves. It kept it down to a far more respectable score than it probably could have been if she wasn't in goals and not on her game. So, no, a tough day. And, you know, you've got Rangers and Glasgow City over the next week, so what could possibly go wrong? But, you know, we're on the beach. We're in top six. It's fine. As long as we beat Hibs, it doesn't matter.
We've done well to stretch this out to nearly half an hour. I've put together a mailbag of questions from listeners and some that we've left on the back burner for a few weeks. So we'll try and get through as many of these as possible. Alan McMillan has asked, what players are generally underrated at Thistle, I think, in terms of careers? As he suggested, David Amu and Adi Aziz, which I think are two good shouts. Rhys, I'll come to you on this one. Who do you think is an underrated Thistle player? I know I'm coming to you because I think you're going to have maybe a controversial one here.
I agree with what he's saying. I think Aziz and Amu were absolutely pivotal players for us in the times that we had them here, especially Amu. He was brilliant, and we struggled to replace him for a long time in terms of bringing in a proper winger, probably say up until Tiffany got signed. And obviously Aziz was so special in getting us that top six. I know he couldn't really hit the back of the net, but if a guy like Aziz could hit the back of the net, then he'd be playing in the English Premier League 100%, because he had just about everything else. So, you know, spot on two players that were kind of undervalued a wee bit. I'm trying to think of other players. I know one, maybe a lot of people wouldn't really agree with it, and it's a current player, but I generally think Adam Muirhead is very underrated. I know he doesn't necessarily have the legs anymore. He's never really had the legs, but I really liked him in his first spell with us as well. He's just a no-nonsense defender. He's a leader. And, you know, he does have his bad games now and again, but for the most part, he's been really solid for us. And it's a credit to him, the fact that he got signed as fourth or fifth choice centre-half, and he just went, we'll soon see about that. And he's been in the team pretty much ever since, playing with an injury the full season. And I think he's a player that he is kind of generally undervalued. And so you actually kind of feel bad for him sometimes because, you know, we sing Macbeth's praises and everyone else's praises, and I don't think that he necessarily gets the same sort of shouts. And I do think that sometimes he deserves that, because he's at the weekend there, that was his 150th game for Thistle. And he's just been a really good player for us over the years. And he puts his body on the line time and time again. The one that comes to my head straight away would be Adam Muirhead. I just think he is kind of underappreciated, and for the services that he's given to the club over two spells now. So a good player, and just sometimes doesn't get the recognition maybe I think that he deserves.
I think that's a good shout, Rhys. I think obviously he's struggled in the first part of this season, probably the first half of it. But the last couple of months, yeah, I think he's really picked up and, yeah, as you say, contributed a lot in his two spells to the club. David, quickly, anyone stand out for you as having an underrated Thistle career?
I mean, usually my contribution is Conor Hazard to this, because I really liked him, and I think a lot of people don't. But he was ultimately a goalkeeper on an absolutely stinking team. So not necessarily his fault, but I mean, I thought he was pretty good. Conor Salmon as well. If he hadn't missed the penalty at Livy, against Livy, you know, perfectly fine striker. Bring him back. But that's probably the two that I'm thinking of.
Generally underrated was the question, David. You've named a guy who has the word mania as a prefix after his name for a 3-month spell at the club in a relegation season, and you think that is generally underrated? Well,
no problem.
Heather, you got anything here?
Well, the one for me, and I think this is obviously a little bit a wee while ago, and he was the answer to so many things on the Party Thistle quizzes during lockdown, and it's Paul Kearney. He was a really important player, actually, and scored some really good goals and some important assists. But I feel like so much of that kind of era of Thistle is kind of forgotten now, and he maybe doesn't get the kind of credit or recognition that he deserves, because he was a very important player throughout the seasons in the Prem. So I think I would go for Paul Kearney.
That's a good shout, Heather. From a sort of similar time, I would chuck in Johnny Tuffy, because I think we've been quite lucky with a few goalkeepers, but I think if you look at recent years, we've struggled to have an established number one. What a guy like Tuffy would have done to us in the last couple of years, and his spell at the club as a number one was really impressive, and maybe just second to Tam Cherney, my all-time favourite Thistle goalkeepers that I've seen play.
I had him written down too. I chose between Kearney and Tuffy. I think he's such a shout, and he was such a nice guy. So much time for the fans. I remember my dad and I were on holiday in Northern Ireland seeing some of his friends, and Johnny Tuffy was playing in a game, and we an international game, but we went along to support him, and he gave us a big wave, and that's the kind of thing, like, when you recognize like Thistle fans like that, like, I just think that's quite special. So big ups Johnny Tuffy.
Excellent. Heather, I'll stick with you for this next one. So we covered the Masters last week, obviously we made a bit of money off the Scheffler win, predictably. Cam Young, who we had each way at 45-1, needing a top 8 finish, coming in at tied 9th, which was tough, but we're trusting our models on that one. Jordan Spieth, though, our brave and beautiful boy, a complete and total ejection, missing the cut. He finished on plus 9 with David's boy, Victor Hovland, plus 9 as well. So Spieth's obviously needing a massive revitalisation in his career. And on that theme, I'm going to ask you, which Thistle player has turned around their career at the club the most impressively? So who's the most impressive turnaround in a Thistle shirt?
I feel mine's a little bit of a cop-out, but for me, it's Jukka Santala. And because of the reason for that, and we talked about this on the pod before, you know, he came as a defender and he left as a striker and scored some really important goals, was pivotal to us securing promotion in the second division. And I don't think people quite understand, when you look back on that season, we were so forth at heart. Like, we were not good. Martin and Peterhead were, and obviously Gretna, were leaps and bounds ahead of us. And the way that we managed to just sneak that promotion that day, it was sensational. And you actually think about it, like, I don't know, would we be where we are now if we hadn't won that? Because Peterhead, for example, have not kicked on from there. That was like their chance and they didn't take it. And I just wonder, like, what would have happened? But anyway, obviously Santala wasn't with us for the whole time, but his goals were great. The commentary for him was just fantastic. The Santala la 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 song, just, you know, it sticks in the brain forever. But for me, I think that was a big one for me, you know, coming as a little bit helpless and becoming so important.
Rhys, you got anything for this one?
It's a bit of recency bias again from me. I know I'm not really delving into the archives tonight, but it's another current player. I'd like to say David Mitchell. There's kind of been two occasions already in his Thistle career where I thought he was kind of dead and buried. You know, like last season, obviously, he had the jersey at the beginning. He fell out the team and Snedden went on a good run. And obviously, Doolin came in. And at that point, I didn't really see Mitchell getting back into the team. But Doolin fancied him and it was the right decision in the end. And then obviously, we all know what happened this season. He kind of wasn't getting a look in. And he's came into the side and it's kind of coincided with our defence getting a bit better. Looks like the defence are more confident with him in goals. His kicking is obviously far superior to Sneddon's, and it's got to the point, I remember saying, I don't want either of these goalies at the club next season, and not necessarily saying I'd like him to be number one next season. I don't really know, but I'd be more than happy, and I'd probably like us to sign David Mitchell again, just give him another year if he's wanted to be on the bench or whatever, because I think for me personally, he's won me over again in the last couple of months, and I do think he has a decent goalie. The mistakes ratio that he makes compared to the good games, I think, is a far smaller number than the likes of, you know, what Sneddon's done. So I think he's had a good revival of his Thistle career again, because, like I say, I thought he was out the door. There was rumours that he was away to play League 2 with Clyde, but now he's looking brilliant again for us. So that would be my go-to answer for this one.
We'll save some extensive goalkeeping discussion for later on in the season, maybe our end of season pod. I'm not going to rise to that bait just now. David, do you want to round us off with this one?
I was gutted when Heather took my answer of Jukka Santala. However, I think I've got another good one in the archives. I'd say Gary Harkins, in his first spell with us, came to us as a defender, kind of down in his luck. You know, he'd been down in the English pyramid and not really kind of career kind of falling apart a little bit. He came to us, played as defender, wasn't very good at the start, and then we played him in the midfield in a more attacking role, and he absolutely thrived and just became, you know, this really tricky footballer who, you know, could just pull stuff out of nowhere. So I'd probably go with Gary Harkins for that, just for the turnaround that he got when he got moved into midfield.
Good answer. Next up, Heather Wilson's asked about the draw, lose or draw quiz, which we'll plug at the end again. We're only a few days at time of listening away from that. If you could put a team together, so we're going to assume that the three of you are in a team and you need three more to get up to six. You can each pick one player from the current Thistle team to join you. Who are you recruiting, Heather? I'll start with you.
I'm going to take Stevie Lawless. I feel like he's the kind of guy that has some, like, well, I think he'll have good football knowledge, but I also feel like he's got some kind of like mad, like just like general knowledge, just like, and also the kind of thing I like about him, you know, when sometimes you're in a team for a pub quiz and people are like, oh, like, I'm not sure about the answer, like, just go with what you feel, and a little bit like, and just don't really like assert themselves. I feel like Stevie's the kind of person that would like, right, this is the answer, and just like take charge. And sometimes you need that in a team. So I'm going to go with Stevie.
I certainly think you'd have a good night. I don't know if you would win the quiz, but that's a good tip. If you find yourself in a team with Heather next week, make sure you set yourself. David, who are you recruiting to join yourself, Reese, Heather and Stevie Lawless?
I think I would go with Cara Hendo, just purely because I'm pretty sure it was her who did the interview with me and asked what she was up to. And she said she was reading a book about Stalingrad. Quite intellectual, has quite eclectic interest in terms of reads a lot and stuff like that, so I'd probably go with that. I think it's important to get a sort of broad diaspora of people in your team as well, though. You can't just have six people who know everything about football, because then you get to the music round and you're humped. So I think, yes, having Stevie Lawless in there brings one, and I think Cara Hendo would be good as well.
You're definitely going for that broad breadth of knowledge, David, because with all due respect, I cannot picture Stevie Lawless reading books about Stalingrad. Reese, who are you picking to round off your team of six?
Had a good think about this one there, and I was thinking back to still any like university graduates on our book, you know, back to the Anton Dowds days, James Craigan, Mark McGuigan, etc. But I think I'd probably just go with Stuart Bannigan. Similar to what Heather said, like, I think his ball knowledge is top tier. But out with that, I think he's also got a bit about him. I think he'd be decent in the music rounds, and I'm sure that he'd pull his weight in the general knowledge. So Bannigan would be my go-to answer.
That is so good. The football cliches that we're incorporating into ability in a quiz. He's got a bit about him in a quiz. Oh, that's really good stuff. So Stevie, Cara and Stuart Bannigan, if you are listening, please come along and form a draw, lose or draw team on Monday night. Next up, Harris has got in touch and asked, which current player do you think is most likely to be a Doctor Who geek? David, I'll kick off with you on this one.
I feel it's going to be someone who's a bit older. I mean, I mentioned this before. I think that all footballers are generally quite dull outside of odd people. But so this is what makes this interesting, because you wouldn't expect any of them to be a Doctor Who geek. I think you're going to go with someone who's maybe a bit older, maybe watched it when they were younger. He's went through their phase of being a footballer and that, and then is kind of coming out the other end. So I don't know why I immediately thought Blair Alston, but I thought Blair Alston would have some sort of deep love for the McCoy years or something like that. But but Brian Graham, I think Brian Graham, he probably knows a bit about Doctor Who. I feel that he probably has watched a few episodes. I would not be surprised.
Can I Doctor Who geek back at you here, David? And I'll tell you why I don't think it would be all Snodgrim. They are children of the wilderness years. Doctor Who wouldn't have been on, I don't think, when Graham and Olsen, so yeah. What are they, mid to late 30s? I think you're looking at...
So they'd be like 17, 18. Yeah, no, that's fair.
I think you're really looking for guys who are probably in their mid-20s or so, who sort of grew up through Tennant and Smith. Heather, I know you enjoyed the Blair Olsen answer there. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, I went with what you've just said there, and Jamie Sneddon and I are the same age-ish, so I feel that he's probably like the kind of peak era of, as you say, Smith and Tennant. So I think, and he also just seems like a bit more of the kind of guy to enjoy a bit of sci-fi. So yeah, my answer is Sneds.
Rhys Haldane notably staying on mute there after the Sneddon likes the sci-fi comment. Rhys, I'll leave you out of this one. I know you're not a big Doctor Who man, unless you've got an answer.
My go-to answer, I had one prepared just in case, but I was thinking, I'm thinking the same age bracket and kind of personality traits. Don't know too much about the guy, but I would say maybe Harry Milne. Like, I know I've already sort of likened him to being a farmer's boy, but I can imagine him long hard day on the yard milking cows and herding cattle and coming in and getting his feet up and sticking Doctor Who on. So Harry Milne would be my answer.
I like that image.
Love this lore we've built up of Harry Milne, which I think is completely untrue, but I just love the fact that it's now fact. You know, print the myth, you know, instead of the truth. It's brilliant.
Right, last up, this is a good one. Jamie Fleming has asked, if you could assemble a dream championship lineup, what other 9 teams would you choose? So we're going to caveat this with, they must have played in the championship in the last 5 years, or you must be able to provide a convincing argument that they will be in the championship within the next 5 years. So we're going to go around everybody and pick 2 teams each, and then hopefully we'll come to some sort of agreement on the 9th team, Partick Thistle obviously making up the 10. So Rhys, I'll kick off. What 2 teams are you adding to make a dream championship lineup?
So I've only went for 2. I might have missed the caveat here, unfortunately. But the 2 that I went for was Brechin City, because I know that's obviously more than 5 years ago. I believe so anyway. But we obviously missed them. We were in the Premiership at the time. And when they were sort of in the lofty heights of the championship, and I've never been to Brechin, I thought that was kind of a free win, wasn't it? You were turning up and getting your 3 points at the hedge. They would have been my go-to answer, and I also opted for Cowdenbeath back in the day as well, because it was an absolute dump, but it was kind of our dumping ground. There were so many good memories there, and you know, it was always good for a 3 points as well. So I'm wanting Thistle to win the league here. I don't want your Hearts, your Hibs or anything crowding up and taking the top spot. So I know I'm kind of bending the rules here, but Brechin and Cowdenbeath for my answers.
We'll accept those 2 teams, because it's not beyond the realms of possibility that some guy that sells like patios or something will invest in one of those 2 teams and they'll come rocketing back up. So we'll allow that, Rhys. They're 2 good away days. Heather, I'll come to you next.
Rhys, those are absolutely superb answers. I'm so there for both those away days. For me, firstly, has to be Queen of the South. It is, I miss going to Palmerston so much. It is such a good away day. And they're like, it's just good vibes. And we've had a few good times here recently. We've enjoyed the Stuart Bannigan penalty and the celebrations and stuff. Yeah, I really enjoy Queen of the South. And I think we do miss them. And then I don't know if I'm stealing one from you, Matt and David, because I know that you got so much love for it, but Arbroath, because we know they're the team that we all low-key fell in love with, and it's a great away day, so much fun. You can't see past the dance mats at Pleasureland, and you know, everyone just wants a goblet like David, so. But just in general, like I know from a few friends that like they're bored and their hospitality, etc., is probably the best in the league, and the way that they welcome people in, so inviting, so up for a conversation. I think they're just like the good guys of the championship. So yeah, I'm going to go for Queen of the South and Arbroath.
It's another strong couple of teams there, Heather. I like it. I like where this is going. David, who have you got for us?
Well, I was going to suggest that Arbroath can be our United ninth team, and that, you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award for, you know, Championship away day vibes sort of thing. But I feel that you need to have a Highlands trip in there. Inverness feel more Championship because they've just been here for ages. But, you know, you can't look past Dingers. Dingwall is a great away day. Yes,
stop! It's
fraught with horrendous trauma for us. But you know what? The rules are made to be broken. Why can't we go and claim 12 points against Ross County in that season? Although, I'm kind of talking myself out of this, but I'd probably go, if I had to choose Dingwall or Inverness for an away day, I'd probably go Dingwall. My only concern is about Brecon and Cowdenbeath is that we will inevitably have a McCall-esque run last season where we get like 4 points against Brecon and Cowdenbeath all season, like we did against Hamilton and Cove. I feel you need a five team in there as well as Cowdenbeath. We've got some good local derbies, they're both in Brecon, and I think I would probably go Cowdenbeath and I'll go Dunfermline, Cowdenbeath and Dunfermline. It's 50-50 between Kirkcaldy and Dunfermline for me, to be fair, but I'll go for Dunfermline. As alluring as the Duchess and its Barbie Room cocktail lounge is, I think I have to go for Dunfermline.
That's fair. I like where this has gone in terms of we're all considering good away days. We're considering Scran as well. I think a sometimes forgotten bit of Scran that we've not enjoyed in a few years, Alloa, a pie in a row, get them back in the Championship. I think that also ticks Reese's box of a decent chance of winning the league if Alloa, Cowdenbeath, Brecon are in it. That's looking good. Also have a decent chance of winning the league, I think, if Queen's Park are in it as well. You know, we're doing a lot of travelling here, Ross County, Queen of the South, up to Fife or Broth. Sometimes a little away day on your doorstep's good. So it's considering the makeup of the rest of the teams, I'll chuck Queen's Park in there as well for an unbeaten four games again. So what have we got? We've got Cowdenbeath, Brecon, Queen of the South, Arbroath, Ross County, Dunfermline, Alloa, Queen's Park, Partick Thistle. And does anyone want to make an impassioned case for Team 10?
Good evening, Morton.
I was going to say Morton, yeah.
Right, stick them in. So there you go, Jamie Fleming. There is our dream Championship lineup. What a season that would be.
We'd come fifth, wouldn't we?
Yeah, probably. Yep.
Aye.
Or ninth.
Or ninth, yeah.
But how sure would you be that we'd win the league, David? Surely more than 66%. Like, our title challengers would be Morton.
You do remember I watched us like get fuck all points against Hamilton and Cove last season. Like,
I'm
still 66%, but you know, like, come on, be realistic.
On Partridge Thistle, then, thank you for staying with us this far into the episode. I think we've done well to get 50 minutes out of this so far. On last week's Partridge Thistle, which was about spreadsheets, John Henderson got in touch on Twitter and said that he keeps spreadsheets with player ratings for every game so he can keep a track of who's had good seasons or not, which I'm fascinated by. When it comes to us doing our end of season awards episode, I would love to see John's spreadsheets. I think that's a great idea. I'm almost tempted to start doing that next season. I don't know why I'm not on that already. So I would love to hear that. Keep getting in touch with your spreadsheets as well. I saw a few other good ones during the week. I think somebody's been tracking curry houses that they visit on a spreadsheet and like rating them meals out of like sort of spice and taste and stuff like that. That's great stuff. Please keep sending me over your spreadsheets. This week's Partridge Thistle, though. Sorry, David, in you come.
I was going to say, I can't believe I didn't mention this spreadsheet last week. My friend Pat Reed runs the best spreadsheet of all time. If you're not into wrestling, this will make no sense, but it's very funny. Reese, do you remember the Dominic Mysterio custody ladder match where like Ray and Eddie Guerrero fought to see who was going to be his dad? Mm-hmm. I know someone who has, they've done a spreadsheet from Ray Mysterio winning custody of his son back to who is the lineal father of Dominic Mysterio like 18 years later. Every time, you know, a guy loses, the custody passes on to someone. It is fascinating stuff. It is absolutely fantastic. But yeah, custody of Dominic Mysterio spreadsheet is fun. It's just an absolute work of art.
If we draw 0-0 again on Saturday, I think we'll just have a spreadsheet of appreciation pod. I think that'll be some good stuff if we get another goalless draw between now and the end of the season. This week's Partridge Thistle, and I'm not going to read the tweet out because I don't think I'll get through it with a straight face, but I would implore you to go and seek out Sharon Osborne's response on Twitter to Amanda Holden. Now, I'm not usually one for celebrity gossip, but I would argue this is the greatest post on the website formerly known as Twitter of all time. It's absolutely fantastic stuff. Genuinely considered adding a quiz round to the quiz next week and making like five quotes, some from the tweet and some not, and you had to guess if they're real or not. It is a sensational piece of literature. So I'm going to ask you, have you ever had public beef with someone? Heather, I'll come to you first.
My favourite type of question. And I have to say, the Amanda Sharon thing was absolutely fantastic. And I did watch a little bit of Celebrity Big Brother with Sharon and Louie, and I quite enjoyed their honesty, to be honest. And while Sharon didn't miss when she was going on her tangent earlier, public beef. We'll keep it Thistle related. I think last season, obviously, there was a few things off the pitch which I had to naturally get involved in, which was probably public beef. But we'll keep it light-ish. And we'll go with the person who called me a teenager who sells badges and then said something about, like, it's okay because he's got a daughter too, when called out on the way that he spoke about me. And then, I don't know, like, watched my brother look after his children for a full game instead of watching the football, and then had a comment about it, about the fact that my brother wasn't watching the game enough. So I think that was a really strange bit of beef to have with someone, to be, you know, for a 26-year-old girl to be named it, firstly, a teenager, what a compliment. Secondly, I don't sell the badges. And yeah, so I think that was a strange bit of beef to have with me. But you know what, when I'm like 40, and look 22, I will take it.
You have to be diplomatic, being on the board of the Jags Foundation, but when you step down, I hope you do just sort of turn into Sharon Osborne and start drafting, you know, like 3,000 word replies to sort of cheeky comments you get online. I would be here for that era. Reese, what about yourself?
Public beef. I don't know, maybe with Heather's brother. Once upon a time, once upon a time. and like Ian McKinnon and stuff, but obviously that beef's been quashed. Obviously I spoke to Ian and stuff about that since. It's just funny talking about it. Obviously didn't really know him at that point in time, but it's funny looking back, because it was just over like a difference of opinion on like Thistle stuff. Like I remember looking back at it, like obviously I just always enjoy Thistle, and I remember like trying to get up for games during the COVID period, and I don't know, I've spoken to him now and he says I was just pure overzealous about guys like Shea Gordon and stuff, but I don't know, you just get caught up in like Thistle stuff. I probably look back in this time period thinking that like we overrate people on that, but that's kind of what the beef was over at that point in time. But Andrew, if you're listening, it's okay, no love lost.
The sort of mid to late 2010s on Thistle Twitter was insane. It's not really hit that peak in the last few years, but there were sort of constant beefs going on online, just sort of like random things. Yeah, you're certainly not alone there, Reese. David, do you want to round us off with this one?
No, I'm a very forgiving person. I'm too chill to really get into quarrels or anything like that. However, before this podcast started, I used to not have my own Twitter. I used to use, we have a Japanese wrestling podcast called the Pure Pre Podcast, and I used to use that Twitter a lot, and it eventually became a sort of quasi-Thistle account because I just post all the time about Thistle and stuff like that. And there's multiple people who I now know, some who I'm friends with, some, you know, in prominent positions who have came up to me, spoke to me, said, do you know who that Pure Pre Podcast was? Because he once called me a fucking idiot in a Twitter exchange. And I was like, yeah, I know that guy. He's no well. I'm like, just leave him. But yeah, I just totally like, going, oh, God, he's such a prick, isn't he? Yeah, he's such a prick. Guy, George, fucksy. But yeah, no, that's it. But I liked causing havoc under anonymous accounts, you know, both back then and now.
David Forrest confirming that he likes causing havoc on anonymous Twitter accounts on a Perfect Thistle podcast. Thank you, David.
Matt, don't be such a gimp.
Right, the aforementioned draw, lose or draw quiz. Monday the 22nd, that is this Monday, Coopers, we're aiming for an 8 p.m. start. I'm not 100% on the how we're going to be set up in Coopers, so I would recommend arriving early with your team to secure a table. We have 8 rounds in store of quizzing. We have a raffle as well. If there's anything you'd like to donate to the raffle, that would be very much appreciated. You can get in touch with any of us on this call. You can contact the pod. You can contact Jags for Good, who we're teaming up with to present this quiz. All funds on the night are going to go to the Partick Thistle Charitable Trust. So it's a fiver entry per person, and there'll be raffle tickets as well. So all funds raised from that will go to the Partick Thistle Charitable Trust. So please get yourself along to that. My head's buzzled. I saw them on Twitter the other day trying to assemble a team. They're going for the three-peat. Come along, try and stop them. It's going to be a great night. So that's Monday, 22nd of April at Coopers on Great Western Road. I think we have done very well to drag this out to an hour. I was not expecting this after Saturday's game. So Reese, Heather, David, thank you very much for joining me on this week's episode of Draw, Lose or Draw. We will be back next week with a review of hopefully a slightly more entertaining game this weekend against Airdrie, and then we'll preview the next home game against Ayr United as well. In the meantime, stay safe.